I was preaching up in Ashland at a conference several years ago. And the pastor got up, he introduced me, and he just went on and on and on about different things that I'd preached and on. And he said, "Now come and preach for us." I said, "After that, I'll do the best I can." If you will, turn with me to Psalm 65. My subject tonight, and I pray that it's God's message to you for this hour, is the river of God. I was preaching on something at our church, and Psalm 65 was a reference I went to, and I was talking about what I preached here Sunday morning. That was the verse that I was using as a reference, and it kind of jumped out at me. But then after I started reading it, I ran onto this, which I've never preached on and never really seen the depth of it like I see now, where he's talking about the river of God. Psalm 65 is a psalm about God's infinite power. Our God is Almighty God. He's sovereign. He's eternal. None can stay his hand or even question what he does. And this is a song about God's infinite power and God's love and goodness toward his elect. This almighty, all-powerful, loving, kind God is our Savior. He's our Savior. And I pointed out to you Sunday, he says at the beginning of this psalm that he is God in Sion. He's God in Sion as he's revealed himself to them. You can go to any church in the land and hear the word God. They'll talk about God. They'll talk about who he is. They'll talk about what he's doing. But nobody else in this world has an understanding of God except God's people. Now that's what that verse is saying. He is God inside. We worship God, the true and living. That's eternal life, to know the true and living God, not a God, but the God. And he's God inside. We met here this evening and we read several passages of scripture already and prayed to our God. And each time I've noted that they mentioned the fact that he's God. We know God. My soul, what a blessing. There was a time when I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about God. Thought I did. I was raised in religion. Thought I knew God. I didn't know anything about God. He's God in Sion. And he's God in Sion as he reveals himself to chosen sinners, and they know him as no other knows him in this world. And if I consider ancient Israel as a typical people, I see God in Israel and the whole world dwelling in idolatry. They were forbidden to marry into those heathen nations. They didn't know God. They were idolaters. And these are figures of the church. We know God. He's our God. He's our Savior. And we love him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, John makes an amazing statement. Somebody said to me the other day, he didn't say it to me, he said it to one of the folks there in the church. He said, "You all think you're the only ones in the whole state that know anything at all about God." Listen to this statement. 1 John 5, verse 19. John writes this as he's moved by the Holy Ghost. He said, and we know that we are of God. Now watch this. Not the state. The whole world lieth in wickedness. You want to talk about a privilege? When you closed your eyes to pray a while ago, you knew who you were calling on. What a privilege to know God. I'm not just beating the air, Paul said. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God. And he said here, the whole world lieth in wickedness, not just in the sense of immorality, but Paul describes it in Ephesians as spiritual wickedness in high places. We do battle with principalities and powers and things not seen and spiritual wickedness in high places. He's God in Zion or in his church, having given to them eternal life, which is to know him. His church are not the only people that worship or read their Bibles and pray, but they're the only ones that worship him in spirit and in truth. We know God. We know that's what salvation is, to know God. They alone worship him in spirit and truth. They rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in the flesh. So this psalm is a psalm sung from the heart about God's infinite power. He's singing about the God he knows. He knows him intimately. He knows God. And he's singing about God's infinite power and love and goodness and mercy toward his people. They are a people that he's chosen and enabled, made them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of enlightened saints or saints in light. They've been drawn of God and caused to come to his Son, and now they dwell in his courts. Oh, we're in his courts tonight. If we're gathered in his name, he's in our midst and we're standing in his courts. We dwell in his courts, we worship in his temple, we're fully satisfied with the goodness of his house. And then the psalmist goes on to point out the visible tokens of his power that cause the inhabitants of the earth to tremble. They see these tokens and tremble. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, natural disasters. And in another sense, just the order of creation ought to make us tremble. There's no way that you can consider the order of creation and not think that there's a God who controls it. There's perfect order in his creation. And then in his preservation of it, it says he stilleth the noise of the sea. I can't imagine. That ship was about to go under, and it was dark, and it was one of the worst thunderstorms the disciples had ever been in, and they were in this boat, and they were mariners. They were raised mariners. They knew what to do to save the ship, but they couldn't save it. And then they looked out, and in a flash of lightning, they saw him walking on those waves, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night. They looked out there, a flash of lightning, and they saw him. When he came into the ship, he said, "Peace, be still." Can you imagine the noise of the sea when it's raging like that? "Peace, be still." And it was as calm as that glass of water. And you might well apply some of these natural things to natural blessings of God's kindness and mercy. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. In a physical sense, his rivers feed the forest and so forth. Egypt reaped the benefits of the corn which God provided for his elect. But I want us to look past the temporal tonight and see what only believers can see, the spiritual. The spiritual. In Psalm 65:9, David sang, "Thou visitest the earth." This God of glory, this almighty God, this sovereign God, this holy God, visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. That's my text, that's my subject, and I pray God's message for you tonight, the river of God. We're expressly told in Isaiah to remember the former things of old. We're not told to forget them. We're not told to ignore them. We're told to remember. Remember these things, these former things of old. For I'm God. That's why we're to remember, because he's God. And he said, there's none else. I'm alone, God. I'm God. Now watch this, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Wow. Well, that shed some light on that song, don't it? He's declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. And that's exactly what I want us to do tonight. I want us to see God's redemptive purpose from the very beginning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. First thing I want us to see here is what this river of God is. What is David talking about? God enriches the whole earth with his river, with the river of God. And I suppose you could say that all rivers in the world are rivers of God. Solomon said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth them whithersoever he will. They're his rivers. But that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about the river of God. And it's a single river. In Genesis 2:8, he tells us that God planted a garden eastward of Eden. What is Eden? When you're reading the Bible, stop and think about these terms. Look them up. Give them some study. Find out what they're talking about. Eden is where God dwells. That's Eden. Eden is defined as the place of pleasure. The place of pleasure. Not pleasure like eating a good meal or lying down when you're tired and going to sleep. But pleasure, as it is considered in the deity. Pleasure. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. My counsel shall stand. I just quoted that to you. And I will do all my pleasure. In Psalm 36:8, he says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of my pleasure. Eden is the place of pleasure. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And our Lord said, my Father, he said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Was he talking about something right then and right there? Well, kind of, but he's also talking about back yonder. He's talking about this garden. God's the husbandman. He planted a garden. What did he plant in there? He planted a vine. A vine. And everything God's going to save going to have to be connected to that vine. He put there a man and his bride. He put there a tree of knowledge of good and evil. He put there a tree of life. And he manifested in this garden the fall of man, the reconciliation of his elect. He demonstrated the blood atonement of Christ and his righteous covering to hide their nakedness. Everything God intended to do, he demonstrated in that garden where he planted that vine. He began with the vine. Where's it at? In his garden. Who planted it? He did. He did. All right, now watch this. Genesis 2, verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. The river of everything God was pleased to do, flowed out of Eden to water his garden. Well, what is this river? Well, it's the river of God, David said. It is the river of God's eternal purpose of grace. But it's more than that. It is the river of God. Who's going to water this garden? God is. God is. It's the everlasting counsel of God to save a people in Christ for the glory of his name. And nothing in this garden will grow without being fed by this river. You ever try to grow a garden and then don't water it? It kind of shrivels up, don't it? Nothing's going to grow in God's garden apart from this river. This river is a river of purpose. It didn't just go out and start meandering around as nature would give it opportunity. This river went straight into God's garden. This river is why this garden could exist. This river. He said, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. God planted that garden, and then he watered it. He put his river into that garden. And the purpose of its going forth or going out is to water his garden. There can be no understanding of anything that takes place there without this river. Without this river. You can explain it away, well, as luck would have it, you know, and whatever else religion uses when they talk about the garden. No, everything happened in that garden happened on purpose. Have no purpose. All right, now here's the second thing I want you to think about. What does this river have to do with me? That was a long time ago. That's back in the beginning. God planted a garden, a river flowed into the garden. What's that garden got to do with me? What's that river have to do with me? Genesis 2:10. Second half of the verse. And from thence, the same river, this river of God, it flows first into the garden. God's purpose flows into the garden. And from thence it was parted and become into four heads. One river, four directions. The name of the first, he said, is Pison. And he said, it compasseth the whole land of Havilah where there's gold. It feeds the land of treasure. And the gold in that land, he said, is good. There's delium and onyx stone. Now, Pison means to disperse. That's what the name means. This dispersed head going off. It means to freely give, to make access to have access to. Nobody can drink from the river if the river stays in Eden Garden. That river has to go out to wherever God's directed it. And that's what this first head is. It means to disperse, to freely give, to make access to. And where does it go? To the land of gold. Having stated our quickening together with Christ and our resurrection with him and our being seated with him in glory, he tells us the reason for it in Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to reveal in us, in these old clay pots, he's going to put his treasure. He's going to reveal himself to us. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same as it that compasseth the whole of Ethiopia. Now, Gihon means river of grace. It's that river that King David stood next to when he was anointed to be king. And it was also that river that fed the pool that ancient Israel had built conduits. And this pool, I'm not sure if it was the pool of Bethesda. I'm going by memory now. My memory ain't very good. I don't know if it was the sheep pool or the pool of Bethesda, but wherever it was, God worked his miracles in both places. It was fed by this river. This is a river of grace. It's a river of grace. And what would Ethiopia be without his grace? I think about, as soon as I saw that, I thought about the Ethiopian eunuch. Whole country compassed about by this river. Why would he make a river go through Ethiopia? Because one of his elect is there. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. The Hiddekel means revelation of God. This is where Daniel received that revelation of Christ. It's east of Assyria, he says. And where would the Assyrians be without the revelation of God? Where would we be without the revelation of God? What's real in contrast to what ain't? That's the revelation. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us. And then the fourth river is the Euphrates. And Euphrates means to break forth. It means unstoppable, mighty, mighty flow, mighty stream, irresistible, mighty. And the river flows out of God's presence into the gospel garden. It waters his vine. It waters everything that took place in that garden, everything that God planted. It waters the tree of life. It even waters the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God's purpose is shown in both. This is the river of God, the river of his everlasting purpose of grace. Paul said, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Where was it given us? In Christ Jesus before the world began. The river flowed into the garden, but it was never intended to stay in the garden, and so having watered God's garden, it divides up and goes forth into all the world. And everything that is in this world is made to drink from that river. What do you think about that? Everything in this world that belongs to God, and nothing here that don't, is made to drink from that. The most vile sinner made to drink from the river of God's purpose. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, he told Pharaoh. Show my power in thee. He's Lord of the dead and the living. He's never intended to stay in the garden. He was intended to go forth into all the world, to reveal, to make known the mystery of his will, to be an irresistible force bringing forth the good pleasure of God. And everything in God's creation is made to drink from the river. He said the earnest expectation of creation. What's it doing? What's expected from creation? Maybe you never even thought about it. Creation has a purpose. What's its purpose? The earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This river goes forth spiritually by the word of God and the preaching of the gospel. How do I know that? Because it comes to us from that place of pleasure. It pleased God. Ain't that what it says? Through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He hath from the beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. How shall you hear without a preacher? And how they're going to preach if I don't send them? Our election find its beginning in this river. It pleased God to make us his people. Faith finds its source in this river. Enoch left this testimony. He just disappeared one day. They couldn't find him, but he left his testimony. He believed God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Even your faith finds its place in this river. God's purpose. Think of the kings and kingdoms that have set their faces like flint and did everything in their power to stop this river of God. But it says, he that's in the heavens shall laugh. You have them in derision. And in the end, what did they do? These ones who so adamantly despised him and rejected him and turned thumbs down on him, they did what God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done. Well, what does this river of God do? Our text said God visits the earth and waters it. What's he water it with? His eternal purpose of grace. My soul, there wouldn't be a believer on the top side of God's earth apart from that. God purposed to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel. There's nothing out there in this world, though there is a building on every corner, except Antichrist religion. That's all that's out there. But in spite of governments and religion, God finds his people and he gives them the water of life and they drink. How many times does our Lord say, he that is athirst, let him come. Let him come. Christ said, if any man thirst, John 7:37, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about the spirit that they were to receive, that they hadn't received as yet. All in God's purpose. Spirit of God attends the flow of this gospel river and he makes it irresistible. There was a day as the Apostle John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos that he was caught up in the Spirit and he I was allowed to see God's purpose of grace in Christ Jesus, and he tells us in the very last chapter of Revelations, in his closing words, he said he showed me a pure river, clear as crystal, clear as crystal. A river of the water of life. It's clear as crystal. Where does it come from? It proceedeth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see what David's talking about back in the Psalm? He ain't talking about rivers feeding your peach orchard. He's talking about rivers feeding your soul. He's talking about rivers of God's purpose, irresistible flow that goes out and saves sinners. He don't try to save sinners, he saves them. He don't try to redeem, he redeems. And here's the thing about these rivers. I told you the other night, go down the Mississippi River and take your little bucket and go out there and stick the bucket. Take a big bucket, stick it in there, get it out. You see the water go down any? My soul. I've been preaching this gospel for a long, long time. Water hadn't went down any at all. Any at all. That river is full. He said it's full of water. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. Now watch this. Which is full of water. That's Psalm 65. This river brings forth food for the hungry where God so provides it. And even the high places he waters. He makes the hard ground of man's heart soft with his showers. And all who receive the benefits of God's river, he closes out the psalm and says, they shout with joy and sing. What are they singing? Well, here's what one hymn writer wrote. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior is he. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. May the Lord be pleased tonight to let everybody in this place see and understand what he's saying in Psalm 65. This was a man after God's own heart. And he began to think on those things. He was a shepherd. He knew what it was to sit out under the stars and see the rivers and the streams and the pastures. And David sang about it, but he didn't sing about that natural river. He's singing about the river of God. The river of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of the gospel. Thank you.